Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Merry Christmas, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Tonight we gather as the Christians have since December 366 AD. And this predates, contrary to, the very popular show Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper's braggadocious statements when they talk about Christmas, and they seem to always replay that episode this time of year, that really Christmas is around the pagan festival of Saturnalia, which is not true in any way, shape, or form. It's historically, ignorant and entirely wrong. That Roman festival was celebrated on the 19th of December, not the 25th. And so please don't get your theology from Big Bang Theory or any other TV show for that matter. We gather tonight and tomorrow to celebrate a very Christian holiday, Christmas, or as we might want to say, Christ Mass. And tonight is Christmas Eve. For the Christian, the eyes of faith don't even question the uniqueness of Jesus' birth. As only Jesus, per divine prophecy, was born of the Virgin, as promised by Isaiah. The Messiah's titles and names are so unique. Isaiah tells us that they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, or literally, with us is God. And this God with us will never leave us or forsake us. The angel Gabriel reveals to Joseph that this virgin-born child's proper name shall be Jesus. And so you know this, so no person who tries to lead you astray would. That is the English form of the Greek word Jesus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Yeshua, which we would anglicize Joshua, as which literally means God is salvation, or God saves, making Jesus' name, his very name, a proclamation of the good news for us and for all. Because this saving God with us has come to bear our sins in his incarnation, that is, in his enfleshment, and he does that by going all the way to the cross, as God's mighty arm is outstretched to die, to bear our sins, and to declare to us life in it eternal. You see, simply saying Jesus is the Christ is to make public confession to the world, which is also why we need to be very careful of how we say that and when we say that, for when we use God's precious name falsely or uselessly, it sends a false confession to those around us. And it offends God, which is far worse. Jesus is truly God with us. As John tells us, he is the Word that became flesh to dwell among us, to save us, his people. That makes you and me his people who have been saved from their sins. This meek and mild baby Jesus in the manger that we love to envision sleeping through the night the moment after his birth, and those of you who've had children know better than that, for this God-man, this baby born to Mary and Joseph, truly is God-man. Jesus, in flesh. And they changed his dirty diapers, and they fed their crying child, and they rocked him to sleep like any other parent would. The big difference is that this baby and any other baby is that this baby knows no sin, and came to grow into the man who is the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He came to be our sacrifice. Our text is not then some heavenly myth or earthly fiction. It begins just as one would expect it to begin when a fiancé is told that his virgin bride is pregnant. Our text begins with Joseph considering the divorce. He's going to do it quietly, though. And it's important you catch that, because it's clear here from the text that Joseph truly loves Mary. instead of returning evil for evil and having her put to death for her adultery, he's going to divorce her quietly so that she and he may go on about their lives. And then comes the fun. Think about it. Wouldn't it be awesome if every time you were about to make a major screw-up, you were about to do something completely wrong, God sent a holy angel to come to you and correct your position and your view? So you can hear me. That's why. How awesome and exhausting it would be, though, for you if God did that with an angel. So let us not forget that God did give us His Word to do that very thing. There's an angel. So the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, and he says what to Joseph? "Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." How great the Father's provision is for us through his Son, as God makes all of us his children. All of us are his adopted in the waters of baptism, made heirs of the kingdom of heaven, as we are joined to his only Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. And he gives us this day and every day all our needs of body and soul, no matter what's waiting for you under the Christmas tree. In Joseph and Mary, we see a beautiful lesson of faith that hears the word of God and believes it. Yet it's never quite that simple, is it? Joseph began our text with the refusal to trust his wife. That never happens in real life, does it? A husband says to his wife something, and the wife goes, "Of course, that's the way it is." And a wife says to a husband something, and "Of course, that's the way it is." We always trust every word out of each other's mouths. You can't blame Joseph. Mary's testimony is contrary to natural law. It's contrary to the order of creation. But it's important to remember that God's word is not created, but rather creative. And it always accomplishes the purpose for which God sends it. And his word had promised through the prophet Isaiah that a virgin would be with child. And they would call his name Emmanuel. You see, the angel simply reminded Joseph of the word of God. He didn't make it up for Joseph. He revealed what God had already said. And he believes just as Mary did. And they willingly serve as the guardians of the child born to be the Savior of all mankind. And yet born to be the sacrifice for all our sins. Now, God-given faith then strengthen us like Joseph's. By regularly hearing the word of God. Which tells us that Jesus is indeed our Emmanuel. Our God with us. That he's with us still today in his word and his sacraments. And even through each and every one of us as we respond in faith to God by sharing and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Can you imagine just how intimidating it must have been for Mary and Joseph to be called into the vocation of parents for a sinless son? They are to be the caregivers of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the very Son of God, the Savior of mankind, and yet they're just like us. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. Think about your own heart when your children were infants in the bed, needing to be fed at 2 or 3 in the morning, and you put them right back to sleep, and you think, "Finally, I can go to sleep," and then they yet out another wail. And your patience snaps. That's Mary and Joseph, just like you and me. Poor, miserable sinners whose own heart can be revealed so simply in the sound of a crying child. We know it's tough enough to be a parent that's expecting a child. wondering if they would be good parents. But to raise the bar this high, the only begotten Son of the Father, now that's a lot to take on. And yet Joseph and Mary will be caring for the one promised to crush the serpent's head since the beginning, the one promised to redeem all people with his innocent life, suffering, and death, to rise from the dead on the third day and declare to sinful humanity that our greatest enemy's sins are completely defeated. See why this is called good news? This angel's message is not only corrects Joseph, but it connects Joseph to his royal birth. Joseph, son of David. And to the fulfillment of that line, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And while Joseph is the son of David, making Jesus legally, in the law's eye, the son of David, Luke reminds us that Mary is also of the line of David, making Jesus physically of the line of David as well. And all this comes to its high point on Palm Sunday, when the crowds greeting Jesus shout, Hosanna, that is, save us, to the Son of David. And Jesus comes to do just that. That's our Christmas tree gift. The baby in the manger placed below it for us as he stretches out his arms on a tree of the cross for us. For to understand Christmas rightly and this baby in the manger, one must understand Easter and its empty tomb. They are forevermore linked together. The promised salvation God has given us since the fall, and all the words of God's prophets find their fulfillment in this one child whose birth we gather to celebrate. Remember a couple of weeks ago when John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, he said, are you the one to come or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered him quite simply by pointing him back to the Old Testament. Go and tell John what you see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. That's what Advent's been doing for you. It's been preparing us for the next 12 days and, more importantly, for our eternity. As all our doubts are swallowed up in Jesus' birth, his death, and his resurrection, as the Word of God declares for us, like Jesus' cousin John, then we are appointed to the prophet Isaiah, to the words of the Old Testament, to remind us yet again so clearly that Jesus who has come, who is born of this virgin, is none other than your Savior and mine, the King of all creation. Yet his life will not be one of luxury. It'll be one of suffering and rejection by those very same people he came to save. And as the baby grows, he will exchange the wood of the manger for the wood of the cross, as he will bear our sins and there die our death that we so deeply deserve, as we confess tonight. So this Christmas Eve, we dare not lose sight that Jesus' birth brings God down to us, but it also draws us up into heaven. Even as it draws us into his slander and his persecution that Jesus knew not only in his death, but also in his birth and adolescence as well. This is why we needed to go through the penitential season of Advent to get here. For Advent helps us understand that Christmas is not only a story of limitless joy, but also one of impending doom and darkening sorrow. This is where faith clings to the Virgin Son, that is, God with us. And may we never then take our eyes off of Jesus, for as his name states, God is indeed our salvation. So rejoice, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Tonight's silent night will give way to tomorrow's joy to the world, for the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. May you and yours have a very, as Pastor Meyer would say, Christ-enriched Christmas. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.